Hi, and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar, and 2022 starts the third year of this podcast and corresponding blog. I go through the Bible chapter by chapter, guiding you, even if you've never read the Bible before. Right now, I'm going through the Old Testament prophets, revealing how Bible prophecies that were written 700 years before Christ predict not just what was going to happen back then, but what happened when Jesus came. They even predict the end times and last days that are coming true right now. I pray that as you hear God's word, it will inspire you to study the Bible daily for yourself. Seek the truth. I pray that God opens your heart, eyes, and mind to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. And as you become rooted in the word, you'll also be rooted in hope, joy, and peace. Hey, new year, new life. Let's dig in. Ezekiel 23, Israel's idolatry is portrayed as infidelity to God, and judgment is serious. When it comes to righteous judgment, God doesn't fool around. If you've ever been in a relationship and your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife cheated on you, you are aware of how painful it is. Well, that's how God felt when the people of Samaria in the northern kingdom of Israel and Jerusalem in the southern kingdom broke their covenant with God and started worshiping the pagan idols of their neighboring countries. Chapter 23 is one of those R-rated chapters, so I'll read some and paraphrase some and let you read it all here on your own. The link is in the show notes. Let's dig in. Ezekiel 23, the adultery of two sisters. This message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, once there were two sisters who were daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt. The older girl was named Aholah. Her sister was Aholibah. I married them, and they bore me sons and daughters. I am speaking of Samaria and Jerusalem, for Aholah is Samaria, and Aholibah is Jerusalem. Then Aholah lusted after other lovers instead of me, and she gave her love to the Assyrian officers. They were all attractive young men, captains and commanders, dressed in handsome blue, charioteers driving their horses. And so she prostituted herself with the most desirable men of Assyria, worshiping their idols and defiling herself. For when she left Egypt, she did not leave her spirit of prostitution behind. That was Ezekiel 23, 1 through at the beginning of 8. So, and God uses a metaphor here. He compares Samaria and Jerusalem as two sisters who become prostitutes after he married them. That marriage is the covenant. It was saying that God would be their God and they would be his people. Problem was that they had wandering eyes and wanted to be like the pagan nations around them. So much so that they forgot God. That is so similar to what is happening in the world today. Churches started wanting to be like the world and they forgot God. So God allowed them to wander, just like he allowed the sisters to go with their pagan lovers. I'm going to continue in verse 11. Yet even though Aholibah saw what had happened to Aholah, her sister, she followed right in her footsteps. And she was even more depraved, abandoning herself to her lust and prostitution. She fawned over all the Assyrian officers, those captains and commanders in handsome uniforms, those charioteers driving their horses, all of them attractive young men. I saw the way she was going, defiling herself just like her older sister. Then she carried her prostitution even further. She fell in love with pictures that were painted on a wall, pictures of Babylonian military officers outfitted in striking red uniforms. That's Ezekiel 23, 11 through 14. Now, Samaria was the first to turn away. Unfortunately, Jerusalem witnessed what happened to her sister and went in the same direction. I'm going to pick it up in 18. In the same way, I became disgusted with Aholibah and rejected her, just as I had rejected her sister because she flaunted herself before them and gave herself to satisfy their lusts. Yet, she turned to even greater prostitution, remembering her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. That was Ezekiel 23, 18 through 19. And we're continuing in verse 22, the Lord's judgment of Aholibah. Therefore, Aholibah, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will send your lovers against you from every direction, those very nations from which you turned away in disgust. For the Babylonians will come with all the Chaldeans from Pekon and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians will come with them. Handsome young captains, commanders, chariot officers, and other high-ranking officers, all riding their horses. They will all come against you from the north with chariots, wagons, and a great army prepared for attack. They will take up positions on every side, surrounding you with men armed with shields and helmets. And I will hand you over to them for punishment, so they can do with you as they please. I will turn my jealous anger against you, and they will deal harshly with you. They will cut off your nose and ears, and any survivors will then be slaughtered by the sword. Your children will be taken away as captives, and everything that is left will be burned. They will strip you of your beautiful clothes and jewels. In this way, I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you brought from Egypt. You will never again cast longing eyes on those things or fondly remember your time in Egypt. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will surely hand you over to your enemies, to those you loathe, those you rejected. They will treat you with hatred and rob you of all you own, leaving you stark naked. The shame of your prostitution will be exposed to all the world. You brought all this on yourself by prostituting yourself to other nations, defiling yourself with all their idols. Because you have followed in your sister's footsteps, I will force you to drink the same cup of terror she drank. Yes, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You will drink from your sister's cup of terror, a cup that is large and deep. It is filled to the brim with scorn and derision. Drunkenness and anguish will fill you. For your cup is filled to the brim with distress and desolation. The same cup your sister Samaria drank. You will drain that cup of terror to the very bottom. Then you will smash it to pieces and beat your breast in anguish. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. And because you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You must bear the consequences of all your lewdness and prostitution. The Lord's judgment on both sisters. Verse 36. The Lord said to me, Son of man, you must accuse Aholah and Aholibah of all their detestable sins. They have committed both adultery and murder. Adultery by worshiping idols and murder by burning as sacrifices the children they bore to me. Furthermore, they have defiled my temple and violated my Sabbath day. On the very day that they sacrificed their children to their idols, they boldly came into my temple to worship. They came in and defiled my house. You, sisters, sent messengers to distant lands to get men. Then when they arrived, you bathed yourselves, painted your eyelids, and put on your finest jewels for them. You sat with them on a beautifully embroidered couch and put my incense and my special oil on a table that was spread before you. I'm going to skip down to verse 45. But righteous people will judge these sister cities for what they really are, adulterers and murderers. Now, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Bring an army against them and hand them over to be terrorized and plundered, for their enemies will stone them and kill them with swords. They will butcher their sons and daughters and burn their homes. In this way, they will put an end to lewdness and idolatry in the land. My judgment will be a warning to all women not to follow your wicked example. You will be fully repaid for all your prostitution, your worship of idols. Yes, you will suffer the full penalty. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. That was Ezekiel 23. In the end, the two sisters learn the hard way not to turn from the one true God and worship false, useless, man-made idols. Interestingly enough, when Israel came back from the Babylonian exile, they never returned to pagan worship. Today's paganism. I saw this article today that was floored, and I'm going to read some of it. It's from Bible Prophecy Tracker. You can click on over to my blog, and there's a link there to the whole article. The Satanic Temple to host Satanic Convention in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's from PR Newswire. The Satanic Temple, or TST, has announced it will be hosting SatanCon February 11th to 13th, 2022. Yes, that's this weekend. This will be TST's first religious convention. The three-day event will take place in Scottsdale, Arizona. The Satanic Temple recently sued Scottsdale for refusing to allow the organization the opportunity to deliver an invocation before its city council meetings, even though the city had never rejected anyone else's request. Both Scottsdale Mayor Jim Lane and Councilwoman Suzanne Clapp publicly celebrated their efforts to prevent TST from delivering an invocation. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the city did not engage in lawful discrimination. Lucian Greaves, a co-founder and spokesperson for the Satanic Temple, said, quote, in addition to creating a community for our members, SatanCon serves as an expression of our goodwill toward the city of Scottsdale, despite the perplexing and unfortunate ruling against us, which defied precedent and common sense. In the course of litigation, Scottsdale officials desperately made clear that they are in fact accepting and inclusive regarding Satanists. We heard you, Scottsdale, and we accepted that as an invitation to turn Scottsdale into the happy satanic fun capital of the world, unquote. SatanCon will include talks and presentations that discuss the various campaigns championed by the Satanic Temple. These include efforts to protect members' reproductive rights, fight psychiatric abuse, protect children from abuse in schools, promote addiction recovery, and build support for TST's after-school club. There will be vendors and entertainment as well, including a keynote presentation by Lucian Greaves. The website Bible Prophecy Tracker added this quote here. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. That's from Charles Baudelaire. Now, continuing with a quote from Greaves, quote, we are dedicating SatanCon to the Scottsdale City Council. Their bitter remorse at having erroneously excluded us from giving an invocation in what they described as a bit of administrative confusion must have been weighing on them for some time. If their testimony is to be believed, now hundreds of Satanists will descend upon Scottsdale to let these selfless public servants know, hey, it's okay, we understand, we're here to make things right. Far from being disgruntled and put off, we're going to bring Satan to Scottsdale. We're bringing the party to you, Scottsdale, and it's going to be an event to remember, Greaves said. Wow. Now, this is happening about 15 miles from where I live, and one thing's for sure, I'm going to be praying for these people in the city of Scottsdale this weekend. It would be great if a slew of Christians would encircle that event and pray for them. Well, Catholicism is pagan worship, and even though a Roman Catholic Church Mass is prettier and full of beautiful rites, set in a building full of works of art, it's still idolatry. Venerating anyone or anything above Jesus Christ is idolatry, plain and simple. Furthermore, God hates idolatry, and God's judgment is coming. Like those who lived in Samaria and Jerusalem, there will be no escaping God's righteous judgment. It's called righteous because he is holy and we are supposed to be holy too. What's more, God wants our obedience and our loyalty. Where is your loyalty? Paul wrote in Romans 3, starting in verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And he is true for everyone, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. Yet, God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Now, isn't it time you got right with God? And it's really rather simple. You must believe, have faith that Jesus is the Christ and he died taking your sins away forever and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. Repent of your sins, that is, stop sinning. do a complete 180 degree turn in your life and surrender your life to him. Be baptized, show the world and yourself that you have died to your old life and are born again in Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit in your heart. So what are you waiting for? Invite Jesus into your heart and receive the gift of grace and confident hope of eternal life. If you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, there's a prayer in the show notes, or you can click on over to my blog and click where it says how to invite Jesus into your heart. And in the bottom of today's blog, I embedded a video from one of the prophecy preachers. It's a video of the Pope. And he doesn't know the Bible. He doesn't know how salvation works. And he's supposed to be representing God. He is so far wrong. It's incredible. And then I've got some links in the bottom too, where you can dig deeper: the narrow road, the narrow gate, the salvation of Jesus Christ, false prophets, and the benefits of salvation. Also, if you haven't read it yet or listened to it yet, I did a whole series, Left Behind After the Rapture. And it's interesting. It may become a book. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But it's a series of fictional scenarios on what minutes, hours, days, and months may be like for different groups of people who are left behind after the rapture of the Christians. Will you be left behind? Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.
Are you a born-again Christian with Catholic friends or family members? Have you struggled with how to bring up the truth of Jesus' salvation? I had the same problem, so I put together a free ebook, The Catholic Mission Field in Our Backyards. It's a guide to help you start the conversation and plant the seed that will get them thinking, am I missing something? Check it out. It's a free download on my website. You'll find the link in the show notes. Oh, please, let me know if it helped you.
If you're a born-again believer helping a Catholic friend or family member start reading the Bible, it's a great idea to give them one. But which version or translation would be a good one for them? There are too many to choose from. As a former Catholic, it helped me to have a Bible translation in plain everyday English. And I know many evangelical Christians are very much attached to the King James Version. That's fine if that's what you grew up with. Remember, Catholics have grown up with priests and nuns telling them they don't need to read the Bible. All they have to do is trust the church to teach them what they need to know, only they don't, and that's the problem. When I first started going back to church, a well-meaning friend told me to get a King James Version. Well, guess what? I got frustrated with the thees and thous and stopped reading it, totally defeating the purpose. Eventually, I got the New International Version, or the NIV, and that was the best for a new Christian to get into the habit of reading the Bible daily. Today, I also study from the New King James Version, or NKJV, and the New Living Translation, the NLT. I'm now an affiliate of Christian Book Distributors, and I've chosen three study Bibles that would be a great gift for that Catholic or progressive friend whom you'd like to help get into the habit of reading the Bible daily. They're also great for the new Christian believer. Check them out. The link is in the show notes. And by the way, all commissions will be donated to one or more of the Bible translating ministries listed on my site. So give the gift of the Word of God and help spread the word while you're at it.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, touched your heart to reveal the gospel truth that our hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. I encourage you to read the Bible daily and seek the truth for yourself. I recommend that you download two free Bible study apps, the YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. Friends, we are living in strange, crazy times, the last days, the end times. But know that things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20-22, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. Peter told us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? Repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart right now. If you don't know what to say, there's a prayer in the show notes and on my blog. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.